Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, listeners, and welcome to episode one of season five of the podcast. Half a decade and things don't really feel any closer to the Premier League yet. We've got Brownie and Ollie on this one, and we've got some voice notes from Johnny, Jimmy and Sam Whedon. So, yeah, let's get into it. Boys, how are we both? Are you good?
Good, yeah. Enjoyed the intro, Jay.
Yeah, you heard it live this time.
Yeah, it was good fun.
How's your summer been? You enjoyed it so far?
Yeah, been all right. Got away a couple of times in a stag do this weekend. Still pretty tired, but all good.
Where have you got away to?
Spain and then Berlin this last weekend. Good.
Nice. Ollie, how about you?
Managed to find the only place in Europe that was raining just as much as it is in Manchester. So. Very unlucky.
Berlin, I assume. In Berlin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lively place.
Send any video messages or any voice notes out, 21?
I don't remember. Might have done.
Ollie, are you well, mate?
Absolutely superb, thanks, Jake. Yeah, from like all, it doesn't feel like we've had any summer. It's been raining for about 6 weeks in Manchester.
It's been shite, hasn't it?
But yeah, I'm going to Belgium in about 10 days, so hopefully nice. Get a bit of sun in Belgium.
What's the weather like there at the minute? Are they having a heat wave like the other half of Europe is?
I'm not there, so I'm not too sure, to be honest. I don't know.
For fuck's sake. What a start. Right, come on, let's do it. Pre-season, it seemed, when it was announced and all the teams and the opposition were announced, it felt quite underwhelming in terms of the teams that we've come up against. But perhaps those games, now that they're out of the way, have actually shown our shortcomings.
I don't think it matters, honestly. I don't, pre-season, I just don't think it really...
But is it really not the time where you want to see, to quote the manager, patterns of play and things that they've been working on the training ground coming through and coming into fruition? And instead, we've got the manager coming out saying that some of the players are coming away from game plans and just want to get through pre-season, quote unquote. It doesn't sound great, does it?
Was a bit of a worry. Well, I don't think it helps when you... I mean, a lot of the games we played have been a lot of young lads, aren't they, really? You know, it's not a lot of it. A lot of them are not going to be, you know, left wing back situation, and the striker situation. I mean, we didn't even have one, did we, for a good portion of it? So I think it's probably understandable to get to the Stoke game and things still not be 100% right. But I don't even think even if, you know, you can start seasons poorly and stuff like that. I'm not saying it's the way to do it, but things do take time to come into it. And it is just, like you say, a fitness exercise to me.
I think the biggest test will be on Saturday, because I think Bristol City have won every single pre-season game and they've scored about 40 goals or something, I was reading. So I just enjoyed the fact that we played Bruno's Magpies. It was just comedy. But
a Gibraltar pub team, yeah. Quite literally.
Yeah, yeah. But I think that was more for the fans than anything. The only game I've seen properly was the Aberdeen game. But the quality of opposition has generally not been a great standard, has it? I think Ipswich played quite well at Deepdale by all accounts, but I think I read as well that only five or six players have actually got through a 90 minutes.
Yeah,
and
that was strange.
If you include Woodman as well, he's probably played every minute or more or less, hasn't he? But the others are probably a bit short, so I think it's been a bit of a strange pre-season. I don't, as any of, I'm not sure how many players have actually scored, how many senior players.
Just the one, innit?
Obviously, Ramsey's not played. Yeah, Mads obviously scored a couple against Aberdeen, but yeah, the new signings, barring Mads, haven't really settled in that well, I wouldn't say. None of them have really hit the ground running. And we do still look a bit short, especially up front for Saturday, but one of them, like Brownie said, it's just about fitness, isn't it? We don't seem to have picked up many injuries, do we? Bray got injured and Dwayne Holmes, I think, is injured, but it's just one of them, innit? We'll just see when the real stuff happens on Saturday. But I don't think we're in an ideal shape heading into the first game.
Striker situation is a concern, isn't it? Because Keane can only really, he's more of a 10, isn't he? So you're struggling really in terms of who's going to get in behind, because he's just going to come in deep, isn't he? And obviously the left wing back situation is, you know, people crying out for the young lads, but I do find that, especially an isolated position like that, left wing back, if you're putting a young lad out there and it's going badly, it's going to show, in it, and he's just going to, and then the team's just going to go down that side all the time. It's not like when you're playing with a four and you could probably play like someone out wide and he's protected around, or left back or something like that. I think it's a pretty key isolated position. And if you're throwing a young lad in there to start first game of the season, you know, you could, it's like lambs to the slaughter. It could be.
I mean, in terms of his options, if he sticks with his tried and tested 5-5-3-2 or 3-5-2, however you want to look at it, he's got Greg, Hughes, and Kean Best. And two out of those...
Hughes has been injured, hasn't he?
Oh, I was going to say two out of those three are either coming back from an injury or just not, shouldn't be anywhere near playing left wing back in Greg's case.
Yeah, I'd just play Ramsey there. I would play Ramsey there ahead of Kean Best. It's no slight against Kean Best at all. Like Brownie said, it's probably, I'd say wing back's the hardest position to come into, especially if you're playing against a 4-3-3 when you're going to be 1v2 on the side, which I think Bristol City are going to play. So I'd either play Ramsey there or I'd just play Hughes at left back and just go to a 4.
But Hughes, I mean, how many minutes has Ramsey played? He's not played a lot.
We'll get on to the signings maybe, but he's not really kicked a ball competitive 12 months, and he's not played much, has he, in pre-season? So Potts is most likely going to start, isn't he, on one side. Did Brady get a 2-year deal as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who could have seen that coming? A bit of an injury. But yeah, there's ways to get around it, but it's not ideal. You might start Kean Best there. But the last player who came in from the youth academy, Josh Hill, actually did quite well when he played there in his early games anyway, before he started getting picked on by From the Finney. But we'll just have to see. But it's quite a tough game for any left wing back to come into. You got Alex Scott roaming around. They got a few good players, haven't they, Bristol City? So we'll have to see. But it's not just going to be that first game. It's going to be the first 5, 6, 7 games. It's going to be an issue, isn't it?
Do you reckon he'll still be there, Alex Scott?
I don't think he's going to play because apparently he's off to Bournemouth.
Yeah, touch and go, innit? Well, if you're a Bristol City fan, so, I couldn't care less, really.
Well, I'd love to see him play in the Championship. Outstanding player. Absolute joy to watch.
I don't disagree with any of that, but... Yeah, and then obviously we've touched on the forwards. It's more than likely going to be Woodburn and Keane up front, which, I mean, given our lack of goals across the season last season, it doesn't really fill you with excitement, does it?
No. I mean, Woodburn, I mean, yeah, I don't know about that. Stuart, I've not really seen much of Stuart. Has anyone seen anything of him at all?
I think he did come off the bench against Aberdeen.
Yeah, but he didn't really.
Yeah, he's
and against Stockport,
but honestly, I don't know if we're going to go through the signings, but he's had an ACL and he's played about 15 under 23 games last season. So even then, and he's not really had a pre-season with us. It's another one. He's not had an ideal. He's not coming in a prime condition. Let's say so. It's hard to see what he's going to do. Imagine starting the season with Woodburn up front. It's just, I'm not sure. Yeah. Morecambe would start the season with Woodburn up front. So it's tough. Especially, I actually like some of the signings we've made. When everyone is fit, Woodburn, hopefully, nothing personal at all, but hopefully he should be nowhere near the starting 11. But we do just look a little bit short for Saturday. But it'll be keen on another. You might change it up. He likes his box, doesn't he, from time to time. But if you're doing that, you need an out-and-out nine, which we don't really have available at the minute. So some people seem to be have a bit more leeway for Woodburn this pre-season. Apparently he's done all right, but I wouldn't notice him if he smacked me in the face, to be honest.
I think his most notable appearance this pre-season was at the Formula One with Trent, which I think says a lot. Yeah, we'll come on to the window so far. Leighton Stewart, Dwayne Holmes, obviously Ramsey in on loan, Mads, Will Keane and Jack Watmore. Watmo, how are you pronouncing that? I've even seen some people saying Watmuff.
How did you even know they say that? Is it written down or?
Yeah, someone wrote it out phonetically.
Is that what it is?
I don't know.
This can't be.
Imagine your surname is Watmore.
Can't be.
It's got to be Watmore, surely.
I thought it was Watmore, yeah. But it's a weird one, him, because I don't hardly know about him, and everyone seems to think it's a really good signing, and I don't know how many times people have seen him play. I watched a few clips of him before, and he just seemed very ball-playing. So I don't know whether he's going to play. I was saying before about who's our right centre-back options now, because, I mean, he looks good in the air as well. Would he be centre or is he going to be right?
I think what I said to you as well, I think he does allow you to play a four a bit more naturally. I've been to see Wigan a few times. He's mobile. He's quite strong and he's good on the ball, like you say. So I think he could probably play right side of the three or right side of a four. Probably there's been a few signs that Louis sort of wanting to have the option of a four. I think obviously Watmore, Ramsey, probably quite comfortable in a four. And you can just put Hughes on the left side of a four, or maybe even Greg at a push. Lindsay left side of a four centre back. So
we don't have wingers though, do we?
No, but he wants to go for a diamond.
Yeah.
He likes his two up front, doesn't he? You can even go for a 4-4-2 sort of four central midfielders in more of a box. But yeah, I think it's not like for like for Bambo, but I think he's going to be competing with Story for the right side of the three place. But I think you can split the signings into two groups really. I think he's bought in three ready-made championship players, which is what he's probably wanted, Watmore, Holmes and Keane, and then he's brought in Mads, Stewart and Ramsey. So there's not a bad... I think the average age of the signings is about 25. So he's actually got a decent balance there. But we're still obviously a few short. Obviously left wing back, losing Alvaro. I think Cannon's quite a big miss, but I think a lot of people didn't seem to like Cannon. I think maybe a little bit misunderstood, but I think Keane's going to be his replacement. So they've done more than I expected them to.
Did you say a lot of people didn't like Cannon?
Sorry, I meant Parrot.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
Sorry. I've seen a lot of pictures of Cannons today. They've been on my mind.
Yeah.
No, sorry. I meant Keane's going to be a Parrot replacement. So.
Well, he likes them. He likes them kind of two that sit in, doesn't he? Because Evans will probably do that. Keane will do it. Like Parrot did last year. And then Reece, if he plays him, and Cannon if we so then Cannon if we sack.
Oh my god.
Bloody hell fire. Yeah, so he likes them too, doesn't he? He likes a few who can sit in strikers, kind of play off a little bit, like Parrott did, like Keane will do. And then you've got Rhys who can go in behind. Evans is probably another one of those who'll sit in deep if he even comes back. And then if we sign Cannon, I suppose he goes in behind as well. I don't know what type of Stewart is, and we'll see, won't we?
I think Stewart would be I think the Stewart signing makes a great case to have a B team. I think he's the kind of player who just needs to play in a B team every week, and you drop him in and out of the squad. I don't think he's going to be starting games. I don't think he's actually played that much, even sort of under 23 football, really. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what happens if Cannon does come back, because I think Cannon's best run came alongside Parrott. I think there was a spell where they either won 4 in a row or 5 in a row last season, at the end of last season, and they started together both, or they both started together in all 4 or 5 games, and then they went to Swansea, and I think he dropped Parrott. And then I don't think the combination ever really recovered after that. So,
well, it all came unravelled that night, didn't it?
Yeah, but I think Cannon in particular, like Brownie says, needs a partner who's a bit deeper and just going to be a number 10, and that could be Mads, really. I don't think Mads is going to start in a front two. It's going to start as a number 8, but just needs Cannon, if he does come back, needs someone shredding them kind of passes through.
I was going to say, this is all if Cannon comes back. Obviously, he's coming, then he's not, then he's coming, then he's not.
Yeah.
But we'll wait and see on that one.
Yeah. I think he would. I think he's probably going to sign, isn't he? Let's be honest.
Yeah. It'll be sod's law that this will go out and it'll be announced like an hour or two later.
Who knows? What kit will they wear, by the way? I'm guessing they'll wear the home kit. They won't be releasing the third kit before Saturday.
I thought there might be a little
double announcement. Cannon in the yellow kit. The fans love stuff like that, don't they? We'll see. But I think all along it's been down to Burnley to sign another striker, really. And I think he's had a bit of a strain.
Everton.
Last time I heard about Everton. About,
are you all right? What did I say? Said Burnley.
For anyone listening. Oh my God.
I mean, in terms of the outgoings, obviously we've lost DJ. Bambo's gone today. Onuma's not come back. Is that it from last season? Or was it, apart from the loanees, Fernandez, Cannon?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the Bambo one, it's clear he didn't like him, innit? Although it's weird because we did play more on the front foot with him in the side. When we had that back three of Story, Lindsay and Hughes, so deep, because no one really got any pace, have they? And Bambo's really good on the ball. You know, he could pick those passes out that certainly, you know, on that right-hand side that Story can't do. And he's mobile enough to get in there and kind of overlap. So I think it's a bit of a loss, but the problem is that people see, like, he has like one erratic game when maybe a couple where we've kind of collapsed, and people kind of focus on those like erratic things, don't they?
But
in reality,
you've
got to understand that he offers a lot more going forward in my eyes than not. So it's a weird one.
A lot of the stuff I've seen today is like people saying, oh, he's either really good or he's really shit, and there's no in between. Do you think it is that cut and dry with Bambo?
No.
He's either really good or really bad.
People say this all the time about any player or any... People see football in a very binary way, I think. But I see it more like a bell curve where like 10% is really good, 10% is really bad, 80% is just all right. But people pretend that it's the other way around, I think. So I think Bambo was just all right in most of the games that he played. He had about standing games that I saw. He had one against Jokeres at Deepdale. But he was Like Brownie said, I don't think Lowy was ever really having him. He wasn't available in January, which I thought was quite interesting when I thought he would be. And I think he's obviously just come available because they've made the most of this Wigan situation. But I think, personally, I think Story's more suited to playing down the middle. So I think it might be Story down the middle, Watmore on the right. And that should actually suit. It's interesting now to see what way he's going to go, because...
What does he do with Lindsay then, though? Because Lindsay was his sort of like linchpin in that centre last year, wasn't he?
Well, since he got that new contract, Lindsay was all over the place. And I see a couple of games in the friendlies as well. Where
didn't Lowe make a comment about Lindsay, about his like his head being somewhere else or something at some point last season, and he dropped him for a few games?
It was after the contract situation. I think Bambo went in the middle, didn't he? Bambo was playing in the middle for quite a bit. Because Lindsay had gone. And then Bauer. I mean, the problem is they've probably done it as a little bit of a deal, haven't they? They've looked at the two situations and thought, which one of these would we be prepared to get rid of and get a bit of money for? Because no one's buying Bauer. Lindsay's just signed a new contract. Story they clearly like. So they've looked at it and gone, and then you look at the other side, Greg, I mean, what's going on there?
The six-month deal tells you everything about the confidence they've got in him, really, doesn't it?
So the Bambo's the one they could probably get a bit of money out of, and that's probably what they've looked at. But for me, in an ideal situation, it'd be Bauer, wouldn't it? You get rid of, but no one's going to buy Bauer now. You know, you can't really get anything for him. And there's rumours to believe he's on a pretty big wage as well, so...
Yeah, he's another one. He got a new contract relatively recently, 18 months ago.
But yeah,
something like that. For me, I really hope that they put Story there at central centre back, because I really think he could develop into like a really solid championship central defender. I don't think he suits right side at all, especially when you get him isolated against a winger. And again, that comes down to suitability for me. It's not really his fault. So he's not that kind of player.
You said but before, it's going to be Ollie, on Jack Watmore. He said from the times that you've seen him last season, he's mobile and he's a ball player. I think it's important not for the listeners not to think mobile means that he's got pace.
No,
they're
two
different things, aren't they?
Yeah, he's just more comfortable engaging into more isolated areas. He's not. I don't think he's quick particularly. I think he's quite a good dual space defender. I saw him for Portsmouth, but that was. Do you remember having him really long, like proper bleach blonde hair?
Yeah.
It was like four or five years ago. But yeah, I was at the DW a couple of times last season. But yeah, Lowy's obviously seen something he likes. So I mind that. That's player trading, really, isn't it? It's the first time I can remember North End getting rid of a player on one day and replacing him on the same day. I don't mind that at all.
If it
suits what Lowe wants, it's a good deal for all parties, really. And Bambo only started 9 games last season, so he was a fringe player at best, Bambo. And Watmore's obviously started more or less every game for Wigan, so it's not a bad signing. I think Story might even be younger than... Is Bambo younger than Story? Or is Story
Bambo's younger than Story. Bambo is actually younger than you think he is.
Is he not like 24, 25?
I think they're both 25, but I think he's lost a bit of football from his banner stuff. But it's not like we're getting rid of Bambo for like a 30-year-old. I think what is he, 26? So yeah, I quite like the signings, to be honest, for North End.
So how do you rate the window so far then?
Probably a 5. We're recording this at the time of no left wing back, and Tom Cannon is not a North End player yet. Dwayne Holmes hasn't played since January or February, and I think he's quite limited.
And is injured again.
Leighton Stewart, I think, is more of a long term sort of low risk signing, which again, I don't mind. I don't know what Brownie thinks of Keane, but I don't mind Keane. I think it's like a parrot sort of replacement, second striker type. And then Ramsey hasn't really played any senior football since he left Aberdeen. Obviously got quality. And Mads is quite an interesting one. I don't like signing players from Scandinavia just because of the, it's got quite a poor translatability rate, especially to the UK. But again, he's technically very clean. We're going to have to see how he is against high intensity opposition, but it's probably a five for me at the minute. I still think we're quite short up front and obviously left wing back.
What I've seen in Mads is he likes that left side a bit. Reminded a little bit of Galli in the way that he was like kind of like hogging that left side a little bit and playing balls through. And he's obviously, by his two goals, he can clearly score from outside the box, which is something we've missed. Or whether it's something that has not been encouraged, I don't know. But that type of midfield has been absent from our team since Galli left. Well, no, in fact, since Galli moved further back.
Yeah.
And we've not had a player like that at all.
It's quite nice having a right footer in that little left pocket as well, because you can slip little passes through at them different angles. DJ obviously couldn't do that. DJ was more of a channel runner, weren't he, on that side? So, yeah, he does find little pockets of space quite nicely. And he's really clean, isn't he? First touch is really clean. I don't know if you saw both his goals, but poor goalkeeping, but the way he just set himself really quickly is something that Alan Brown, McCann can't really do that.
It was instinctive, wasn't it?
Yeah, but it's just his first touch. He just kills the ball. So hopefully he combines with a left wing back quite nicely, whoever that's going to be. I'm not sure how he's against the ball. He looks quite poor against the ball to me, but I think Lowe actually might have mentioned that as well. So it's
that
quite
not,
an interesting
not,
signing
not come
for
back
North
to
End,
that
though.
Translatability, though, that you mentioned.
Yeah, maybe. It's such a low intensity level that it's like Emir Reese stood out like a sore thumb at that level because he's just so intense. I don't get the same level of intensity from Mads. It's going to be refreshing seeing someone so technical in the midfield. It might also have a slightly different meaning for the midfield dynamic as well. I think Brown needs to really understand what he is, or should I say, Lowe needs to understand what Brown is now, because he's starting to become looking like he might be a bit of a spare part if he's not careful.
Where do you see
with
Brown's
1 year
future?
Left on his contract?
Well, yeah, that Brown, he just said he's got 12 months left now.
Yeah, into the final 12, isn't he?
For me, Alan Brown is just a second striker in a 4-2-3-1. Who attacks the box, attacks crosses, scores with his head, scores first time, presses. He shouldn't be involved in any type of build for me. And he's excellent against the ball at pressing. That's all he is for me. I don't want to mention it, but Alex Neil just found that niche role for him. How many goals did he score? 8 or 9 goals in that season.
I think it was 12 on it. I mean, Robinson tied on 12.
Yeah. I don't really see him. He's never a six, is he? I don't really see him as a number eight. He can't really progress the ball, Brownie. But also, he doesn't really suit playing with two strikers because there's not as much room for him to attack. So I think he is a victim of the system, really.
Yeah. His best works in the box, innit? Like you said, a lot of time. Or because of his engine, like we just utilise him with the press. It's been a bit of an issue for a while for Brown where he should play. And 1 year left in his contract, club captain, highest paid player now. I think he was anyway. DJ was pretty close. They've used DJ's situation and the money that they've saved from it, they've utilised in other areas. You do wonder whether they'd do the same thing next summer if the opportunity came around. If Brown was not to accept lower terms.
Yeah, I think Brown is just going to be a one-club man.
I was going to say, this is a player that said that he wants to stay here for as long as he can. And, you know, if he's on the money that we're led to believe he's on, is he likely to get that anywhere else after this next 12 months? Or is he maybe going to think along the lines of, yeah, I'll take a bit of a pay cut, young family, settled in the area, played at this club since he was 17, you know, could cement himself firmly as a club legend and potential leading appearance maker or one of. Yeah,
I don't
gonna
know,
be an
but
interesting one.
Especially now you can get those. Now you can get those four foreign players, or whatever. You know, Mads ain't going to come in on what Brown's on. If Mads is successful, you know, he'd have to take a big pay cut, you think. And he doesn't even fit into the way we play at the minute anyway. I honestly think Lowe would look at it and think, it's probably a good opportunity to get rid of.
Yeah. For me, I don't think many midfielders suit a 3-5-2. I don't think you get the best out of many midfielders at all. Because if you've got a second striker type midfielder, number 10, there's two strikers in their pocket of space. So you can't really run channels. Number six, you've got sort of two wide centre-backs who can progress the ball as well. So you don't really go through the number six as much. And then the number eight sort of just becomes like a box-to-box shuttler. Like, I couldn't tell you exactly what McCann does for North End, and it's not really any fault of his own. I just think the system just sort of swallows up midfielders. I couldn't really tell you what DJ did in his last season. So I think it is hard for a midfielder to sort of excel at, and you don't really see many elite teams playing 3-5-2, do you? Because it's not very specific for midfielders. So
feels like it's come
it's an
and
interesting
gone in the
one.
Last 18 months, doesn't it? The 3-5-2.
Yeah, not sure it's ever been at elite level apart from Conte, and Pochettino had a little go, didn't he? But yeah, like Brownie says, it's an interesting year for Brown. This, I'm not sure if Lowe will like sort of leave him out of the team. I just can't see him ever being left out. But
well, it's a bizarre situation. Your club captain in getting in the team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It is, and he still starts for Ireland, doesn't he, Brown? I think so. Yeah, he's another one. He's just a niche kind of player. But I think McCann's looked quite handy in pre-season. So, and I do quite like McCann. But again, I think he's another one that Lowe's not really understood exactly how to get the best out of him. And obviously, Whiteman's not going to be fit, is he, for Saturday? So he might start as a number six, McCann. So it's a good chance for him to sort of... He's not really got going yet at North End, has he, properly?
Seen a few people saying it's a big season for him, but someone describing him as a defensive midfielder, would you class Ollie McCann as a defensive midfielder?
I think he can be defensive in a front-footed kind of way, which I think is what he is. Do you know what I mean? He presses forward and he enters into a lot of duels. I'm not sure he's a natural sitting anchoring midfielder.
When you compare his pressing to say someone like Ledson, you know, he's just miles better than him. I think one thing that was unfortunate for him was that everyone kind of saw him as Pearson's replacement, didn't they? When they're not really the same player. And like Ollie says, in this system, he's kind of been used as an eight, hasn't he, on that right hand side. But you know, can you even see what he does in that area?
The thing is, just quickly on that, if you're an eight in that system, you're relying on receiving the ball between the lines from Story, which is not Story's game. You're relying on Whiteman to find you between the lines, which, okay, you might be able to. And then you're relying on combining with the right wing back, who's Pops. That's not neat and tidy, is it? And then there's not much room for you to attack the box either. It's just, I think it's hard to excel. So it's an interesting one, the midfield going forward, because Mads is obviously going to start most games, you'd think.
Well, Holmes wants to play there, doesn't he? Because I think, by all accounts, he wasn't happy playing on the wing back. So he's going to want to play there if he's signed here. You've got Ledson, Whiteman, Brown, Mads.
Woodburn.
Oh, Woodburn, yeah. Plenty to go at.
Yeah, that's why I found the Holmes signing just a little bit strange for that reason. I didn't really think we needed him. Unless he's going to use him as sort of a filling at left wing back or right wing back or number eight or whatever.
What's your sort of current feelings then ahead of the start of the new season?
Well, I think we're not as good a team without Whiteman in the side. And if, especially if he's going to replace him with Ledson, that's a big concern. Striker situation we've discussed. We do need more in there. I do feel less confident without Whiteman in there because he can kind of control it. And, you know, whatever's going on there, you know, another player in the last year of his contract, do we sell him? Can we sell him? And would we replace him? So I think he's a key part of the way that we've been playing in recent years, and you take that out, kind of stood out last season, especially the way we played. It kind of forced us to go long, forced us to sit deeper, and kind of forced us to play pretty poor football. So, yeah, it's a key part that we need to get sorted.
Summed it up perfectly for me there. For me, there's a really interesting point, which is the left side of the team's shit, I think.
Yeah, it's okay.
Well, the Cunningham really signing, I mean, point. The left side of the team is shit.
Well, the Cunningham signing was, I was more angry at that than the Woodburn one. Everyone got really, because everyone stands out, Woodburn, they didn't really notice it. Like, what if Cunningham was not at North End, what club in the Championship would sign him at any point? Well, maybe us. Yeah, maybe us. We would do it in January. On a 6 month deal. We'd be the only club that would do it. Nobody would do it. If it had happened and we'd done it, it'd be another Wickham, it'd be another, you know, Thomas, whatever.
Onoma.
Everyone would just be like, oh, it's typical North End signing.
Izzy Brown. Yeah,
so I agree. It's just, and it's inevitable he's going to get injured. It's inevitable. Yeah. So.
Yeah, you know, I see it as more like, obviously, the left side of. Hughes was poor for me for about 12 months. I think he's lost that athletic capacity he had to win duels as aggressively. He used to be able to leap above any opponent, and he's not that tall. I think he's lost a bit of foot speed as well when he's isolated, and he's always had defensive lapses, and obviously he's struggling to stay fit. Like Brownie just said about Greg, he's more or less finished for me. And he does sort of limit you to having to play a back three, which is quite deep and narrow. We don't have a left wing back who's fit. Brady's not a natural left. We've lost DJ, who was a natural left-sided eight. Obviously, Mads is a very different type of player. So that's a whole new combination. We don't really have a number six to feed the left side without Whiteman. And we don't have a natural left channel striker. Parrott was cutting in from that left channel as a striker and feeding them passes. I think Keane plays a bit narrower.
Would you call him a traditional shadow striker?
No.
What would you call him? Just a 10?
Yeah, I just think he's a 10.
It's a weird one, because when it first happened, I think it was the way we signed. It was one of the first signings, wasn't he? So I thought, God,
you didn't like
go.
It, did you, Brownie?
Yeah, I thought, here we go. But you
just
actually
wasn't
think
very
about
exciting,
it,
was it?
Yeah, and it was more along the lines of what we've done in the past, and not signing, I don't know, younger players at the club and make money out of. But when you actually look at it, I mean, I don't say it's like £100,000 fee, don't they, or whatever it is. Nominal for the Championship anyway. It does look an all right deal. And considering we probably loan the alternative anyway, at least we've got a player for the next couple of years. And he's good technically. I didn't mind him the first time. I think he was another one of those players that people jump on and gets a little bit out of hand. When in reality, I thought he was all right.
People not just jump on him because he backed himself to go back to United when they had a striker crisis.
Yeah, it was his first loan because remember Rio announced it before everyone else, didn't he?
Did he? I don't remember that.
Yeah, Rio put a tweet out something like, wow, Will Keane to Preston. He scores goals or something like that. And it hadn't even been announced yet.
Not like Rio to be miles off the mark.
No. Yeah. Trying to be in the know, wasn't he? He'd probably be posting Cannon pictures or something like that.
Maybe Rio's chip bomb. Anyway, moving on. So, how do you fancy us? For fuck's sake.
You cannot put that in. You cannot put that in.
Why not?
Absolutely ludicrous. Dear me.
So, how are you feeling then heading into the season? Optimistic, pessimistic, somewhere in the middle?
I think there's a few unknowns, isn't there? Ollie mentioned it before about Cannon's really the difference of it being a reasonably successful season. Because he's that type of player, well, he's a goal scorer, isn't he? And there's unknowns around like Reece. I mean, what happens to Reece? Does it? Because not played any part of pre-season, probably comes back in September. We don't play that many reserve games. And if we've got Cannon firing, then Reece ain't really going to get back in the side. Evans, obviously, is an unknown. So until those kind of situations get resolved, the left-hand side, like we said, probably a little bit pessimistic at this stage until those situations get sorted out, I think. But we tend to leave things until after the start of the season anyway, don't we, every season? So see how we start. It's a tough game, though, start of season, I think.
Yeah, there's not many goals left currently in the team season at all. There's really not, and that's got to be the main concern because we were really low scoring team last season. I think it was one of our lowest ever goal records at Deepdale over a season. So, yeah. And that was lowest ever. Yeah, lowest ever.
Shall we move on to listener questions, boys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. First one then, Martin Bond asks, is it now or never for Lowe? From the outside, it appears as though he's been backed. Surely there are no more excuses.
But the thing is, excuses for what? Because it's not realistic for North End to get in the top six. Obviously, the brand has got to improve. Especially now he has, like Martin said, more or less is his own squad. It's hard to put a judge on what a successful season is for North Ender, because I reckon most people would have been happy with last season.
Yeah, I don't know what now or never means, that context.
Yeah, it's not really... It's going to take something very, very, very strange for North End to get in the top six. I think everyone can sort of agree on that, but...
It's a difficult one for Lowe, isn't it, as well? Because he looks at now or never. I mean, presumably for him, a success is either promotion or moving on to a different club, a bigger club. How does he even achieve that? You know, it's more or less impossible for him to get to the top six. If he gets ninth, who's even going to mention it? So he needs to kind of build up. And, you know, well, I know he talks about brand, but build up kind of something that kind of attracts him to those other clubs.
Just take Russell Martin as an example. He built a genuine brand of football at two clubs, at MK Dons and Swansea. And obviously he's got his chance at Southampton. Rob Edwards, similar, Forest Green. Obviously got sacked by Watford, but then went straight into Luton. So it is doable.
Potter was the same. I think he had a mid-table finish, didn't he, with Swansea before he moved on. They're the type of situations where you move on. You can't really see it for Lowe. So.
Yeah, it's hard to pinpoint exactly what Lowe's football philosophy is. He doesn't have a clear sort of defined playing. Well, do you think he has a defined playing style? Particularly if you do compare it to some of the extremes in the league, like we've just mentioned.
I think he's got a defined formation, hasn't he? He said that himself. Yeah. But I wouldn't say he's got a playing style.
We're not really a high pressing team. We're not really a possession based team. We're not ultra direct. We're not really a set piece team. It's quite hard to define exactly what we are, and that probably makes it harder for a manager to get a move himself, I think.
Unless his next move has been hiding in plain sight all along, and he's just banking on his media work after this.
No.
Against Ipswich, we were actually pressing in parts. We weren't particularly good at it, but we were pressing. So I do wonder whether he... Because Ramsey was talking about it, wasn't he, about how we were pressing. I was thinking, what games he been watching? few PowerPoint presentations, I think. But yeah, I think we don't really have a style, do we? It's been,
yeah.
I think a lot of times last season, it was kind of, Evans was kind of pulling it out of the bag in terms of, you know, holding it up or getting something out of nothing. You know, you think about the Stoke game away last season, Rotherham first half, games like that, not really playing people off the park, not really possession-based, not really pressing teams and smothering them. So there's not really anything you can pinpoint, is there?
That leads nicely on to the next question from Richard Bailey, who asks, do you believe in Lowe's brand and will it play out better this season with the new squad additions?
Goes back to what we've just said, really. There's not really, it's hard to say what the brand is. But I'd say he's brought in more technical players this summer. Ramsey's very technical. Mads is very technical. Wilkie's quite technical. Watmore's more technical than Story, for example. So obviously, Whiteman's quite important to progressing the ball. Don't really have anyone else who can do that. But I'd say there's been a slight shift towards more technical players, which hints that we might play a bit more football through the lines. I think we've seen that in some of the friendlies, particularly Aberdeen, although they gave us a lot of space to play. So yeah, there's less and less excuses for Lowie now, especially, you know, the attack is more or less his own attack, really, when you look at it now. Obviously, if he gets his left wing back, then both the wing backs will be his as well. So we need to see more goals at Deepdale.
I agree. I think the home fans have sort of done their bit, quote unquote, again, and there's been a decent amount of season tickets sold again, and
yeah,
you know, the club have kept season tickets at the same price as last season, which is obviously one of the reasons why they've sold so well. But I think another season of drab, boring, goalless football at Deepdale is going to turn people away regardless of the price in future, so there has to be more goals and a bit more excitement.
Yeah, you got to big up the club in general. I know Ollie will take the mick out of it, but I do think there's been advances off the field that I wouldn't have been expecting. Has anyone seen the new screen yet? I don't know. I've not seen it, but I do hope it's bigger than the one that was there already. But, you know, little things like that I was not expecting at all. And I think the summer, and there's a lot of emphasis on the young lads, and particularly this group of young lads. I think because a lot of them are from Preston, a lot of people know them, don't they? And it's kind of, it kind of like spirals a bit. And that's not against them at all. It's not a criticism. But I think having them around the youth team is probably, to some extent, bridge the gap. But, you know, they're not ready for the first team. But it's created a bit of positivity around that side of things as well.
Yeah.
And then the season tickets are amazing. Again, we're never going to sell as many as what we did last season, because it was kind of a new thing, wasn't it? So, you know, to sell as many as we did, I think was great. So you've got to give it to the club off the field. I think there's been lots of improvements. Now, are they improvements to just get us to where we should have been anyway, or are they genuine improvements? You know, that is to be seen. But at least they are investing in those type of things that we have been critical about them before.
Yeah, next one is from Matt Freeland, and he's asked, from what you've seen, how many of the youth players have a realistic chance of breaking through this season?
I mean, why would you class breaking through? I mean, really, a breakthrough season is
20 games.
Yeah, and probably a majority of those off the bench.
I would class Josh Earle's debut season as a breakthrough season. I can't remember how many he played, but he played a few and he played quite well. I think a good example is Maggie O'Neill. I think people got quite excited about him about 12, 18 months ago. Obviously went on loan to League Two, didn't really do anything. And there's not as many people talking about him now, is there? I still think the best...
Because we've got the Brazilian, that's why.
He's 16, but he looks about 12, so... You can't be hanging your hat on him, although he does look quite tidy, doesn't he, on the ball. But The best course of action is just going to be loans, isn't it? Or just keep them around. Some of these lads are 16, and even if they're going to play in under-23s, they'd be 3, 4, 5 years younger than who they'd be playing against. So,
yeah,
it's a long way. It's a massive step to Championship football, and none of them are really big lads either. Like Kian Bessel, it looks like a good footballer, but he's quite small, and he's obviously only 17. So, I find it quite hard. I find it quite hard to see any of them having a real impact this season. But they sound like a better crop than we've had in the last 3 or 4 years, though.
Yeah. To answer the question, I don't think any of it. Well, Earl was kind of a little bit. I think Cunningham got injured, didn't he? It was kind of. You need that look, that circumstance, really, to get in there, which Best may have. But you can't have a 17-year-old unless they're exceptionally good playing a full season. So it'd be an in and out job, really, for any of our young lads if they were going to get there. So. Yeah, just hope we can get them league loans, you know, League Two or whatever, or even a good like first loan in the high end of the National League, providing they're actually playing games. You know, Bennett.
Yeah,
Bennett wasn't playing that much, was he?
Morecambe's a decent shout now. They're in League Two as well, I think. But yeah, it's a big ask, isn't it? Championship's such a good standard as well. It doesn't take any prisoners, Championship.
Next one is from Adam Sexton, and he's asked, thoughts on whether the 2-8s benefit us up against two sitters with a number 10 in the 3-5-2?
I'd always have two number 8s in there, but I wouldn't play two strikers. If you've got 2-8s and a second striker, you basically got three number 10s, aren't you? And it gets a bit crowded. Which is probably why Alan Brown doesn't really do anything, because what can you do in there? So there is a case for playing 1-10 in there, one number 8, sorry, and then two number 9s. But people get annoyed when you start talking like this, Jake. So you can play 2 out-and-out 9s. You can play a 9 and a 10. You can play a 9, a 10, two number 8s. You can play a 9 and two number 10s. But it does get very crowded with two number 8s and a number 10, especially when that number 10 is going to be Will Keane.
Yeah.
So if you've got Mads, Will Keane and Alan Brown, it just looks a bit congested. Especially when there's not much 1v1 quality in there. It's much more going to be like, Mads has not got much 1v1 quality. He's more like a technical passing player. And so is Will Keane. So that's something we're still missing in the squad, really. But then if you play someone alongside Whiteman, does it not negate the need for a back three? You don't really need a three and then two number sixes, do you? But then you've got five players progressing the ball. Something for Louis to work out, isn't it?
He's done two tens and a nine plenty a few times only last season.
Yeah. Like you say, though, it's going to be interesting when Reece comes back, if we do sign Cannon. You got Reece, Cannon, and then you probably only need one number 10 in there to feed him. But then that number 10 isn't going to be a box attacking number 10, is it? It's going to be more like a Jensen. And then where do you put Brown? He's not a number 6. The joys of football, Jake.
Yep, like you said, one for Lowe to sort out. Last one from an anonymous person on Twitter has asked, where has all the money come from?
Who's that?
No, Craig. it was just a full stop.
Craig's burner account. Maybe Rivet's yeah. Burner account. Just fuming. Absolutely fuming.
Genuinely asking, where's all this fucking money come from?
Catherine.
I don't know. I think losing DJ and he's taking a lot out of it, hasn't he?
Probably looking at the savings made over the last two summers with all the players that we've had leave. New contracts, potentially a couple of wage decreases in there, maybe.
I don't think they spent that much money if you look at it. Because if you look at Jensen, they're not paying £1 million up front this summer. It'll be probably a third of that. So that's just say that's 300k or whatever. I thought Will Keane was free, but I don't know the actual. But let's just say that was 100k, and then say what more similar. It's only 500k outgoing, and then you take off the loanies and the wages that you freed up.
Stewart would have been
minimal, yeah.
Anything.
I think they've been shrewd rather than, you know, throwing money about. They do tend to make one big signing every summer for money, don't they, really? If you go back a few years.
They dropped off for doing that, though.
Since Trevor died.
They still signed Woodman for 500k, was it, last year?
Well, if you believe some, it was free.
But... Was it? And then they had McCann the year before. They had someone the year before. I think they
is the big money outgoing going to be Cannon if he comes back this summer?
Well, that'd be... Yeah. That's a different debate, isn't it? Would you pay £1 million for a loan for a year?
Would you?
No, I wouldn't. I feel quite strongly about... I would like to do my transfers, though. But if they think that £1 million is going to keep him in the league, then by all means, pay it.
I don't mind it. I think I'd rather see us go out and spend £1 million on someone like Tom Cannon that we know can score goals at this level than go out and spend 750,000 on a Jaden Stockley.
Yeah, but it doesn't have to be one or the other, does it?
No, of course it doesn't. But yeah, I guess because you could look at it and say, well, we've gone out and spent £1.1 million on a Reece.
As a fan, it has absolutely no bearing on me how much it costs them to get Cannon back. So I just get Cannon back. As a principle, though, I wouldn't myself pay £1 million for a loan to take us from 17th to 12th. But if they think it's going to give them a chance of promotion, or if they think it's going to keep him in the league, and if he wants to come back, then
that's a good point, isn't it? It's like, you know, wouldn't we rather invest for years to come? You know, we're not Middlesbrough going out there and getting Archer last year to try and get you promoted.
Yeah.
So, you know, it depends on your way up.
This is what I've always said about loans. Like, for me, you can rely on loans, which is like an expense every year. It's not an asset, is it, a loan? Or you can add one or two bits of quality to get you over the line, which is where I would use loans. Like Cameron Archer, obviously it didn't get him over the line last, but I'd rather loan one or two finishing bits of quality than be reliant on loans. But if they want to pay whatever it is for Cannon, then it doesn't really matter to the fans how much it costs, does it?
It's a strange one because last year, well, when Archer came in, his first proper loan wouldn't have been a large amount. Probably a similar fee to what they're talking about now if we tried to get him in January. We got Cannon because, well, we got those two loans in because of the injury to Reece and we needed one anyway. This is probably the first time we've actually done it where we've got to the summer and we've invested heavily in a loan, isn't it? We don't really do it that way.
Yeah.
And you'd like to think it would be for a particular reason to try and, like you say, get over the line.
Unless they do it like loan plus option.
Well, there was talk of that, wasn't there? Whether it could be done permanently or not, but
that would blow North End's budget out of water, though. Well, you'd think it would. Don't know. Surprise is going to come back. Really, thought he'd be out. I thought he'd performed too well last season. I thought someone like a Leicester or whatever might have took him on loan, but. Good signing if they do it.
If we did sign him permanently, that would be the question then. Do you go, where has the money come from?
Yeah.
But at the minute, it's kind of samey, isn't it?
Same again, though. If we do sign him permanently, does it really matter as a fan? We've got him.
I couldn't care less.
No, but that's not going to happen. But what a player to watch every week at Deepdale. Just so clinical. Genuine quality. Which we couldn't get for a transfer fee. Couldn't get that kind of quality. So,
what's your prediction for Bristol City at the weekend?
Lots of cider. I'll say 2-1 Bristol City. I think they're going to be a decent side then this season. They got a good squad, haven't they? Didn't they? Obviously, it depends how they replace Alex Scott, but it's going to be a very competitive championship, I think. I think they might be. They might not have enough for the playoffs, but the straight championship probably as strong player quality wise and coaching wise as it's ever seen. Some top coaches, top coaches in the championship.
You do look back at that season last season and think, you know, if we were in a better position as a club, it could have been the opportunity, couldn't it? Because it's silly the amount of quality in there now.
Yeah.
In terms of Saturday, the areas we've talked about are an issue. I think if we get out there with a draw, you'd be more than happy, wouldn't you? If we get Cannon in before then, you never know.
Injured anyway, isn't it?
I think he had a hamstring strain about 10 days ago.
Yeah, I'd snap your hand off for a draw, but I can't. I think it'll be a 1-1 or 2-0 Bristol City.
We like going there though, don't we?
We do. We've got a good record against Bristol. Anyway, home or away.
They might be absolutely rocked by Alex Scott leaving. Can we turn up and take advantage? I think we could do. But I think it'll just be a narrow defeat.
Do you know what I'd love to watch? George Hodgson and Nigel Pearson in a press conference.
You might get to watch that soon, Jake.
Well, I doubt it, because I'm not going to Bristol.
I reckon George would stand up to him.
Yeah, definitely.
Like the man he is.
Wouldn't be burying his head in the sand like an ostrich, would he?
No.
And finally, we have some voice notes for you from Jimmy, Johnny Nelson and Sam Whedon. So stick around for them and thank you very much for listening.
Hey everyone, hope everyone's doing well. Quick update from myself, just in terms of pre-season, squad and then heading into the season. Jake, this could be a disaster, so forgive me guys. Pre-season wise, I don't really read too much into it. It doesn't feel like everything's gone seemingly to plan. I suppose we had regulation wins against likes of Bamber Bridge and Bruno's Magpies for the guys that went out to Benidorm, and then the U team had a win at Bury to start with. And then we had that win against Aberdeen, who I thought were really poor on the day. Two quite good goals by Mads, but he got given the freedom of Preston to be able to dispatch those finishes into the goal at the Kop end. So didn't read too much into that, but I thought the game against Ipswich probably said a lot, who were quite impressive for me on the night. I thought they were organised, they were fit, they had a plan, and they looked good against us. And I think they'll be up there come the end of the season as well. I didn't go to Fleetwood, so didn't see anything of that feisty draw. And reading from what you guys and I've read online about the defeats to lead to Barrow and Stockport, I don't think we particularly impressed in either game. I think when you look at the squad, obviously the notable departure of note is Daniel Johnson after 333 appearances in a Preston shirt. Triple Nelson for Solly and George from a cricket perspective. But yeah, a massive loss for us. I know he had his critics in terms of his apparent lack of work rate or performances, particularly over the past 12 to 18 months, but I do feel that he hasn't particularly been managed great. You know, he's frozen out the team for significant parts of last season, and we look good when Daniel Johnson's playing well, and I think it's a shame to lose a player of that ilk in the way that we have done. No real opportunity to say bye to him after the end of the season. So yeah, a little bit sad to lose DJ, but we go again, don't we, after 9 years of him being with the club. The other notable departures, and probably within the past week, are Jacob Slater and yesterday Bambo Diaby leaving the club. I thought Jacob Slater might get a bit of a look in this year, especially with Robbie Brady's injuries and a bit of a lack of cover on the left-hand side after the departure of Alvaro. And then Bambo leaving yesterday was a bit of a surprise to me. Probably the only player at the club with pace, and that does give me a little bit of cause for concern, especially in the back line going into the season. On to the positives in terms of incoming. So Calvin Ramsey from Liverpool. One little concern around him is around game time, but does seem to have a bit of a spark from the games I've seen him playing pre-season, which is good. Only just turned 20 this week, so definitely an opportunity for him to break through this year. Mads Fokker Jensen from Odense. Again, a bit of an unproven quality, but definitely has a little bit of a spark around him. You know, the way he holds himself on the pitch. I do think over the course of the season, he's going to get a little bit of stick from some segments of the fan base for being apparently a little bit lazy, you know, a bit lethargic in terms of how he comes across, but similar to Daniel Johnson, the way he holds himself as a player. So I think we just have to look through that and look at the quality he may bring on the pitch himself. Dwayne Holmes from Huddersfield and Will Keane from Wigan give us that little bit of championship experience that we probably lacked. Just hope we can get Holmes fit, because his work rate is probably one of his better qualities alongside the attributes he brings to the team. And then Will Keane, I think, is a really good signing. I ummed and ahed about this for ages when we were first linked with him, and I thought I had to convince myself it was a great signing. I think it's a good signing. You know, it's not every day you get the opportunity to sign for a nominal fee, a player who scored 12 goals in the Championship the previous season, something that we failed to do last year. And then completing the Wigan link, Jack Watmore also signed yesterday from a job centre after ripping up his contract at Wigan. Again, another centre-half that we probably needed anyway without losing Bambo. I do think the back line is an area of improvement for us this year. And then Leighton Stewart, who's making his first move in professional football. I think Leighton Stewart probably builds onto a bigger element in terms of what we're going to see this season with the youth team and the lads coming through, the likes of Kean Best, Felipe Rodriguez Gentile. I think we're going to see a lot of the young players come through this year, because we don't have a squad that's massively deep in terms of quality, and also the new 9 subs rule, so we can use 5 subs from the 9 on the bench. So I fully expect us to have 4 or 5 kids on the bench each game. Heading into the season, never have our chances of a mid-table finish relied so much on chasing a previous love. The last time a Tommy was wanted for capture this much, Sergeant Kaywood was trying to get hold of the elusive fugitive around the Calder Valley, and let's just hope we're successful in our pursuit of Tommy Cannon and we can get him through the door. I'm concerned about the lack of left-sided provision, especially after losing Alvaro and Brady being out injured currently, Slater going to Brighton. So we're relying on Greg Cunningham, who's got a deal until December, and then 17-year-old Kean Best, who will hopefully have a breakthrough year. I just don't want to put too much pressure on a 17-year-old. I just don't think it's fair. But to chuck them in at Bristol City on Saturday is going to be a big task for them, especially with the quality that's in that Bristol City side this season and pace and flair that they've got. That probably brings me on to my next point around pace and flair. I just don't see it across the team at this moment in time, and losing last season's flair player in Alvaro and not replacing them is a massive loss. I do think creatively we're going to struggle, especially if Ben Whiteman doesn't reappear from the shadows. He technically is our best footballer since the departure of DJ. And whilst we've got an opportunity for the likes of Ali McCann to break through this year, Ali McCann's not a player who plays through the lines and creates assists and goals for us. I just think that's a massive gap in our squad currently. And I do have a bit of a concern where goals are going to come from. Will Keane isn't an out-and-out 9. He is a 10. He's great at linking up play and then arriving into the box late. If you look at some of his goals from Wigan last year, you know, he does arrive late into the box and he's a good finisher with his feet and in his head. But his best attribute is that link-up play. So I'm massively concerned, especially if Cannon does arrive injured, for example, and does have to miss a few games, where the goals come from, especially in these opening few games, like the Bristol City, who've strengthened, made a few good signings this summer, Sunderland the same, spending money. And I just look at the fixtures and think, yeah, this month's a battle. You know, Sheffield Wednesday, you could potentially say that's a 6-pointer for the bottom sort of 8 places already, probably in the first month of the season. So I wouldn't say it's a must-win game, but I do think we need to take six or seven points out of these first four games just to give us a good start. I do think this season could be a little bit of a struggle compared to last. The Championship has improved in terms of quality. The teams that are coming down are spending big money and have squads that I think everyone will be envious of in the Championship. And the likes of Ipswich and Plymouth, who've come up from League One, have massively strengthened their squads. Losing the basket cases of Wigan and Reading probably is the right time. Blackpool weren't great last season. You know, despite their win at Bloomfield, they were one of the poorest teams in the league last season, and they had to go. But I think the teams that are replacing them do have quality about them and probably won't be looking at places within that bottom three, with the exception of Sheffield Wednesday. I think the likes of QPR will struggle this year. Possibly Huddersfield, depends on how, obviously, how Neil Warnock has a start there, and Rotherham as well. I think that they're the sort of teams that are going to be down in the bottom three places. But if we don't start well and we don't invest and recruit wisely, I do fear that we could get dragged into a battle at the wrong end of the table, and I don't want that to happen for us. Whilst we finished 13th last season, in Ryan's first full year in charge, there was a lot of discontent throughout parts of the season. Now, if we get off to a bad start after the poor end to last season, where we were battling for that top six place and obviously ultimately fell short, I do fear that a change may become necessary should we not get off to a great start, which is a shame because everyone wants it to work out for Ryan Lowe, but we need to see an improvement on the football that ultimately just wasn't good enough from our perspective last season. So yeah, sorry to end it on a dour note, but I hope everybody's well, and I look forward to speaking to you during the season. Cheers, chaps.
Hello, gents. Happy August. I hope you're all doing very well. And might I say, on behalf of all Preston fans, what a relief it is to have you all back with us after what has been a long, arduous, barren, often wet summer without the From the Finny podcast. As much as we all appreciate the work of Big George and Solly, we have been craving the substantial meal that is a From the Finny podcast for too long now, even if it just gives 45 minutes to an hour respite from refreshing Twitter or bloody Peony Online for the slightest rumour or update on Tom Cannon. It is very much appreciated. Jake's given me a shout, asked for a bit of a kind of review, my thoughts on the summer that has been, the season that is to be. So here we go, I suppose. What do we have? Eight games pre-season. It's not gone exactly to plan, not gone exactly as we would have liked it to go. Four wins, three losses, one draw, one very unsportsmanlike, stodgy draw against the likes of Fleetwood Town. But, you know, we don't want to get caught up in the results. We all would have been feeling a little bit better, a little bit more excited for the season ahead if the team had gelled so quickly that we'd just given eight teams a good hiding. You know, we looked decent against Aberdeen. We all kind of thought maybe this is us kind of turning up, the senior players turning up for pre-season. And then the last couple of results haven't exactly gone to plan or left us with that feeling. But you can't read too much into it. Look at Middlesbrough and Sunderland got a good slap in from Hartlepool. You've got Stoke lost to Derby. You know, these results are really just about getting minutes in the tank and kind of trying out a few things. And for us, it's been a transitional summer, hasn't it? You know, some legends have left, a lot of signings been coming in, a lot of youth been blending in with the first team. So we can't really take those results at face value. Looking at the players that have gone, we all knew it was going to happen eventually. Didn't make it any easier. DJ leaving Deepdale is something that, you know, cast quite a broad shadow on that day. It would have been nice for a little bit more fanfare. It would have been nice to give a player like that a proper send off, but it was kind of inevitable, wasn't it? He was on a big contract. We weren't going to offer anything near that. You know, you could argue that he's been a bit indifferent over the last couple of seasons. I still think he's a hugely influential player for us. And you saw what happened at the end of last season, how he kind of really stopped the rot in a way when he came back into the first team. So I think he's going to be a big miss, RIP. But, you know, you got to get used to that. Players come and go in this game and nothing lasts forever. Some things don't even last longer than 6 months. Look at Josh Onuma, who's buggered off. I was actually quite proud of the club for kind of giving up on Josh when they did. A lot of question marks over what was going on behind the scenes. Seemed like everything was agreed and ready to sign, but then some funny business from his agent. You don't know whether he was trying to tout him to bigger and better clubs towards the end of the transfer window or what have you. Who knows? But he's gone, and whilst he did look very, very good a couple of times last year, we just didn't have him long enough. So it's no great loss to us, I don't think. Galli, however, seeing Galli leave, never getting to be assistant manager, a manager of the club that we thought was kind of on the cards for him. At the end of the day, it was very sad for him to sort of just disappear like that. We don't know what's going on. I guess Alex Neil comes, he likes working with him, he wants to progress his career as a coach, learn some new things, going to work with a master tactician with the Scottish Guardiola, as the Stoke fans seem to be calling him. You can see how that's going to benefit his career. But if he, you know, you hear a few rumours now about him, you know, tapping up certain players we have been after, and you know, going to be a bit of love lost there if that continues. But legend of the club, thanks for your service. We'll see you down the line. Bit of a weird summer, I guess, with all the loans we had last year all disappearing. So our first team squad looked very, very threadbare indeed coming into this summer. A lot of business we had to do, and it seems like the Riddler's been pulling out his finger, or his checkbook, more importantly, or Craig's checkbook, more importantly, or Revit's checkbook, more importantly. Whoever owns the checkbook, it has been coming out. And as a North End fan, whilst not everything's been done and signed off quite yet, I don't think many of us could or would complain too much about some of the business that's being done. A word firstly on our youth team. Obviously, having a threadbare senior squad has meant a lot of opportunities for the youth this summer. And whilst we've seen youth have opportunities in pre-season and in friendlies and things in the past, it feels like this crop really are knocking on the door, which I think is quite exciting. And case in point, Jacob Slater, a player who none of us had thought was going to start for North End anytime soon, going for, who knows, more than 500k, close to a million. I doubt it's actually up quite as high as that, but him going to Brighton is a huge endorsement for our youth setup at the moment. As much as we'd all like it to turn up a notch and go to that sort of like grade two, I think the exploits we've had in the FA Youth Cup last year has done our team the world of good. And it looking at some of the players and how they've performed in pre-season, it's given a lot of us excitement for the potential of what some of these guys have. I mean, Slater aside, you've got Kean's, Taylor and Best. Best seems to have made that left side his own at the moment, in thanks partly to Brady's injury. But Taylor's been full of energy in midfield as well. Kit Nelson, who I've been watching for a couple of years, has always looked really, really decent, a really confident player. Been given a pro contract, obviously, this summer. Then you've got the Mwenis, a lot on his shoulders if he's going to emulate the legendary status of his dad. But he seems to have been improving still. And of course, the little gem that is Felipe Rodriguez Gentile, scoring most of our goals in pre-season, it seems. I kind of agree with Lowe that we've got to be very careful with him. A few of us will be hoping to see him get some minutes in the senior squad this year or maybe get a good loan out, but he is small, he's very slight, and whilst he knows where the back of the net is and he's got that raw talent, we don't want that kicked out of him just yet by some like burly lower league players. So we have got to be very careful with the guy, but it is really exciting to have someone like that on the books, so to speak. I think he's just on a youth contract at the moment, but being part of the squad, and God willing, you know, we actually see some progression there that we haven't seen quite so much of in the past. Moving on to the actual senior players that the Riddler's been pulling out of his magic hat. Will Keane, pretty happy with that, to be honest. Scored as many goals as any of our strikers did last season in a very poor Wigan side. Didn't pull up many trees last time when he was with us at North End, but whether he's brought in as a goal scorer or just a foil for a player like Reese or Ched or cross all your fingers and toes, Tom Cannon, I think he's a really good find for us. And along with Watmore, whatever his name is, I think that's some very coy business done by the Riddler. Obviously, it's going to raise a few eyebrows over in Wigan with the fact that they've like ripped up their contracts. They've got relegated. Seems like a bit of a betrayal. But at the end of the day, hey, a few years ago, the Riddler was telling us that we'd have our day in the sun. We were paying our taxes. We were paying our players. And we thought, all right, whatever. And he is rubbing his hands together now, isn't he? Because if you don't play your players, it leaves you in a very tricky spot, and that is what's happened to Wigan, and their failure has been our gain, I suppose. Look like a couple of tidy players anyway. I think don't know too much about Watmore, however his name is pronounced. But he says that he likes to play on the ball. Wigan fans say he's a little bit slow, which he'd fit right in our back line. But I think if he likes his time on the ball, likes to play out from the back, I think he could be a really good find for us. Doesn't fix everything back there. We definitely need some pace in that back line, for the love of God. And Bambo will be a sad miss. Really likable fella. Does a lot of stuff in the community. And he did seem to be one of the few players we've got at the back who has the potential to become a fantastic defender and a sort of Claude Davis-esque player. But it didn't look like he was going to get those minutes, and it didn't look like he was going to get that run in the team. And he did look like he was quite, he was a liability at times. So if Watmore's more comfortable on the ball, and if perhaps it does mean we manage to bring in someone else, maybe a young, loney, perhaps from the Premier League this season, then it could be a bit of tidy business. And yeah, we got Bambo on a free, and if we make a profit on him, that's getting us back to that business model we've been screaming out to be taken advantage of bringing in players cheap or for free, turning a profit on them. That's how we survive. Mads Frocker Jensen. Whether he turns into the playmaker, filling in that DJ role that we all hope he will, is yet to be seen, but he's looked very tidy. He's looked very sharp. A couple of great goals against Aberdeen. Whether he gets that time on the ball in the Championship is another matter, but if he can bring in a few more assists to his game, I know he's more of a goal-scoring midfielder than an assist maker, but if he can do a bit of that, and he's young and he's ours, he's another player we can make a profit on in the future and can only get better. So very good signing, very, very coy signing. Ramsey went under the radar a little bit. I wouldn't expect too much from him just yet. He's not looked amazing in pre-season, but he's young. There's a reason Liverpool played a few million for him not long ago, and I think he's definitely got the attributes to tear it up in the Championship. Also, thank God, perhaps sorts out our right side for now. Whether we end up just repeating the sins of the past over on the left-hand side instead is yet to be seen. And Leighton Stewart, exactly the kind of business we should be doing. Similar sort of reputation in the youth leagues as an archer or a cannon when he brought in, but now he's ours, probably with a bigger hefty sell-on with from Liverpool, but definitely a player who, if he comes good, can make us a profit in the future. So quite excited to see what happens there. And let's be honest, if we did manage to bring in a left wing back, obviously we've been disappointed by Larucci. If he wants to go sit on the bench at Sheffield United, so be it. We've been disappointed by Wilson Esbrand. If he wants to go play under the lad from Chorley, fair play over in France. But if we do manage to find another wing back, perhaps the lad from Brighton, I heard rumoured for a while, or any other Premier League team, then it would be an amazing summer for us. An amazing, honestly, for me, it would be the best summer we have had for many, many a year. Best transfer window we've had for many, many a year. But all of that does rest on whether we get Thomas Cannon over the line. This will they, won't they, Ross and Rachel-ing nonsense back and forth all summer has been awful. And to be honest with you, me and many other people assumed this was just going to be another Archer situation, but He likes the club. It seems to have been just teetering off the edge of signing for us for so long now. Not helped by Everton being an absolute crackpot club at the moment. And then obviously the news today that Stoke are still chasing him and perhaps putting in another bid before the end of play. So I don't know what's going to happen. I'll be absolutely devastated, and I'm sure the club will be absolutely devastated if we don't get it over the line. It definitely feels like an Archer situation when we've put all the eggs in one basket. But a basket, guys, look at that basket. Look at that sexy basket. If we manage to pull that off, and we manage a left wing back as well, it would be the, for me, it would be the best transfer window on paper we've had perhaps in my lifetime since maybe 2001, we brought in David Healy and a few others in that window. So no pressure. It would be very interesting to see what we turn to, who we turn to, should that not come off. But let's cross all our fingers and all our toes. And as the season ahead, yes, it's going to be an interesting season. It's going to be a difficult season. We all knew that. Leicester, Southampton, Leeds coming down. That is one hell of a triumvirate. Very difficult to beat any of them. Leeds look a little bit crackpot this year, so you never know. That'd be my tip if anyone's going to kind of fall away somewhat. Leicester have, you know, they've lost some huge names, but what a bloody squad. Probably the greatest relegated squad on paper I've ever seen. And Southampton, look what those parachute payments are doing to them. They're refusing to sell Ward-Prowse for like 30 million. And imagine him in the Championship. Christ! Good luck, Freddie Woodman. So yeah, they're going to be very difficult to beat. And then you've got your usual suspects. You've got the Boroughs. You've got maybe even West Broms and your Norwich's, Swans, Millwall still look strong. But look at Coventry and Brum and Stoke. The money those guys have been spending is insane. Surely they're all going to be in some bother in a couple of years if they don't get any joy from the next season or two ahead. So it's going to be very, very difficult. Ipswich looks strong. They've already given us a bit of a slap. And Plymouth. But you know what? We say this every year, and all the pundits say this every year. Oh, Preston, they'll be lucky to avoid the drop. They'll be up around, you know, down around 19th, 20th. And we never bloody are we? For me, if we don't get Cannon, it could be a very tough year. If we don't get a left wing back, it'd be an even tougher year. But if we manage to get them both, lads, I'm not ruling out top 10. I'm not even ruling out the bloody playoffs. There'll have to be a lot of teams who do not come together for that to happen, but you never know. Long season ahead. But let's hope it's a good one, shall we? And you know what? Let's hope if we do bag Cannon, especially if we don't bag Cannon, we give Stoke a bloody slap, a bloody scene to when we come round to it, because the amount of players they seem to have nicked off us of late is outrageous. Anyway, good to be back, boys. Sorry this dragged on, but all killer. And filler, I think you'll agree. All right, up the Liverpool Whites.
Hi, everyone. Hope you've had a good summer. Sam Whedon, also known as Swede, just giving you my thoughts on our pre-season and heading into the new season, really. Jake's only asked me for this today, so I've had absolutely zero prep for this. I've, yeah, just had a few hours to gather my thoughts, and, you know, without really having much planned, I'm just going to let you know what I think of the season. I mean, obviously, we know last season finished on a bit of a whimper. I think we all got a bit excited with the playoff talk. We went on a decent run, but I think when we came up against decent opposition, you know, your Millwalls, your Blackburns, your Sheffield Uniteds, your Sunderlands, I think we had a bit of a shock back to reality, really, when we were showing the level we're at, which is fair enough. I mean, none of us, when we got to Christmas period, really thought we were getting anywhere near the playoffs. And in reflection of the season, mid-table was probably where we were at. We had some good runs. We, you know, have some bad runs, and at the end of the day, you know, we didn't score enough goals. And, you know, if it wasn't for the run of clean sheets at the start of the season, we probably didn't defend that well as well. And when you know, you're not scoring enough, you're not keeping enough clean sheets, it's very rare that you're going to be up there at the end of the season. But yeah, you know, going into the summer, didn't start great, did it, pre-season and that. I mean, the saga around Daniel Johnson and Josh Onimer and Tom Cannon's really, you know, hovered over us the entire summer, really. I mean, looks like Tom Cannon's going to return him, which is big. I think that's, you know, what we could have asked for, really, and I'll come on to that a bit later. But I think the obvious blow is losing Daniel Johnston and Josh Onuma. I mean, yes, the club have gone out to replace them. They've spent a bit of money on Frotjar Jensen. It's probably not how you say it, and I'll pick it up as the season goes. And Dwayne Holmes as well, which is an iffy capture, really. I mean, I know he brings a bit of flair to it, and from a cult hero status, the American will go down well, but I'm not entirely sure that that's the type of signing we should be making. We've not played since January, and he's got a track record of being injured. So Frotjar Jensen, I like the look of. There's a bad, real... You never really know, and Ollie said this to me once, and he'll, you know, probably drum it in when he's on the podcast himself, that the you're not often tried and tested when you get these players from Scandinavia. I mean, you get the odd few success stories with the likes of Emil Reese, but that's not guaranteed. I did go to the Aberdeen friendly at home, and I was impressed with him, and he does seem to carry a lot of good technical quality in that area like Johnson did, but I must admit he's probably a bit weaker in that area there. As for the rest of the summer signings, I think Ramsey on paper, decent. I think he comes with a good pedigree and he's no doubt got good quality, or else Liverpool wouldn't have spunked that money on him. But another one we signed and injured, so he's, you know, going to be backpedalling at the start of the season. And, you know, Brad Potts, as much as he's again a cult hero, I don't want him playing too many games at right back because he's limited going forward. What more confirmed today, Bambo going out, is that an improvement? Probably, but I'm still not entirely sure. It's solving our problem having to play so deep with a lack of pace. I'd probably like to have seen a bit more of a pacey defender come in if Bambo's going, or likewise managed to shift one of Bauer, Lindsay or Hughes, but that was never really going to happen. Left wing back, young Keane Best. Glad he signed a pro contract and he has looked good, but throwing a player at 16, 17, 18, 19, however old he is into Championship football as your number one left back would be just negligence from the club, really. So I wouldn't mind us obviously just looking at strengthening that area. Ben Whiteman, not featured all pre-season. It's a bit of an iffy one. I mean, spoke about the midfielders. Going forward, Leighton Stewart, I like. I think that's the type of signing we should be making. I know Craig Emmons made that statement at the start to try and bring in players we can come and develop, and he's done that with Shakhtar and Stewart himself. So I think they're interesting players. And obviously Will Keane, solid addition, scored, was it 10, 12 goals, something like that, on a relegated Wigan team. So, you know, only down the road. And if you can get service to him, he could be a decent option when you've got the likes of Reese and Evans to come back as well. And then obviously Tom Cannon saying it, looking now like it's going to be confirmed. Hopefully when you listen to this, it has been confirmed and he's coming back, which is huge. And I think, I know there's been a lot of fuss made about the loan fee and people have their own opinions on that, and there's no right or wrong in a situation like that. But for me, I think that should be a stark realisation of where we actually are as a club and where Peter Ridsdale thinks we are as a club. Because in all them years we were chasing the playoffs and even around mid-table, there was absolutely no way we would spend £1 million on a loan fee. So I think the fact we've brought him in makes me think that, you know, the hierarchy at the club think we're on the cusp of something. And I'll be honest, I don't think it's the playoffs. I think it's something a lot further down. I think it, certainly at parts of the summer area, we look like relegation fodder. So the fact they've spent that money on Tom Cannon, for me, one, you've got to play that type of money, obviously, for a striker who's coming out in his second loan spot and done well before. But I just don't think we spend that money if we're not really, you know, in danger. So I think that, you know, a bit of a realisation. But for me, the squad, is it stronger or weaker? I don't think we've gone backwards overall. I think the defence will look slightly more stronger with the Watmore signing. I think going forward, we should be a little bit stronger as well. But the midfield, for me, if you potentially lose out on Ben Whiteman, like it sounds like we might do, and obviously losing the quality of Johnson and Onuma, we're probably a lot weaker in that area, which is a shame, really, because we have really gone downhill in that area from when we had the likes of Pearson, Johnson, Gallagher, Brown in his prime. So, you know, it's an area to keep a watch on, and just hopefully, you know, it's not going to cost us too much coming the season. But as for my expectations this season, I think we are probably going to struggle a bit. I just think we've lost that bit of quality with Alvaro and even Cannon. Yes, he's come back, but he's lost that link with Parrott, and the squad for me isn't great at all. I mean, I think Woodman's a quality keeper. Whiteman's one of the best probably playmakers in the league. However, he's no guarantee he's going to stay on. He's injured anyway. Cannon coming back big. He's a talisman. But for me, there's not enough quality in the squad or in, you know, the management of Lowe to really push on any more than mid-table. I think we could be down there struggling. I think there's probably worse teams than us. I expect Rotherham to have a pretty poor season. QPR, even though Colback is coming, which is a decent acquisition, I expect them to be down there. So it's probably, for me, there'll be a few teams in and around that last relegation place. And as for looking up above that, last season, you know, even though the squad might not have changed that much in terms of quality, was a really, really, you know, piss poor championship. And coming into this new season, it looks really, really good. You've got obviously good teams coming down in Leicester, Leeds and Southampton, who have, you know, returned a few good players and also managed to bring in bits of quality as well. And you've got teams like Middlesbrough and Coventry, you've been able to spend a bit of money because of, you know, sales and stuff like that. And then you've got the likes of Birmingham and Cardiff, who have made, you know, decent acquisitions in themselves, who'll be looking to push on. So yeah, you don't need me to tell you it's going to be a really, really tough league. Would I be happy if we finished lower mid-table? Probably, to be honest, you know, from a supporter's perspective, you can get a few decent away days out of it. But yeah, pre-season results have been iffy. Signings have been okay, nothing special really. I think the only one that's obviously caught the eye is Frotyar and Cannon, but even then they've both present elements of risk to it and a lack of long-term planning. I think the Calvin Ramsey one could become good, but it's a risk again. And Holmes and Keane, I'm not blown away by. They're just a bit boring, aren't they? But yeah, it's always good fun, isn't it? I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but you get a bit bored at the end of the season, don't you, when there's not much else to do. So I'm looking forward to getting down to Bristol City with over 1,000 North End fans. I've bought the new away kit and yeah, can't wait to get started. So like I say, hope you enjoy the new season, and cheers Jake for letting me waffle for about 8 minutes to you all.
Yeah, unless you boys have got anything else you want to add, then I think we can call that episode one.
Super.
Nope.
Sweet. Season 5 underway. Let's hope it's a good one, boys. Thank you very much for your time, fellas. I'll see you soon.
See you in a bit.